champion wobbler. 500 sovereigns prize. Paper, mister.
If you got Bell's news?
14 lives better, mister. Leastways, if you're following the wobbler.
The pedestrians? No, I'm no follower of foot racing, son. So, Bell's. Top. And some change.
Didn't think Blue's read newspapers.
They're not all stupid. And some can even count.
What, mister?
One more penny change. Well, seeing I'm no Blue, we'll forget it. This time.
Sir, you ain't wearing your jacket, mister, but you're a bobby, all right. Look him over there. Limbed him over an hour ago, I did.
He's been there an hour.
Still as a statue.
Well, in that case, we'd better see if he's still alive. Can't have odd bodies cluttering up this platform now, can we? And that means you as well.
Read all about it. 500-mile walking race. All about the wobblers. Get your sporting life.
Ladies and gentlemen, the year is 1879. We present for your edification and entertainment, Wobble to Death. Introducing Mr. Timothy Bateson as Detective Sergeant Cribb and Mr. William Edel as Police Constable Thackeray, ably assisted by Mr. Sidney Taffler as Solomon Herriot. Their interpretations based on the characters created by Mr. Peter Lovesey and dramatized for the acoustic wonder of stereophonic wireless by Mr. Jeffrey M. Matthews. Ladies and gentlemen, Wobble to Death.
Cutting education classes again, Thackeray?
Good Lord, Mr. Cribb. What are you doing down this way, Sarge?
Manifesting myself, Thackeray, like Banquo's ghost.
Who, Sarge?
Shakespeare, Thackeray. But he does prove my point.
He does, Sarge?
Yeah. That you still have not progressed with your education. No, Thackeray, I was simply passing when I spotted you. Wondered what was holding your interest.
It was her, Sarge.
Her?
Ain't she beautiful?
Do I understand, Thackeray, that you are here to look at a locomotive?
You see her, Sarge. That finish. Those wheels. Now, the only thing that beats her is the Gladstone that runs on the London, Brighton and South Coast.
The Gladstone, eh? In that case, Thackeray, I'd suggest a transfer to the Victoria district.
Oh, yeah.
You are off duty.
Yes, Sarge, till six. And it's beat bashing at Islington Green.
Oh. That six-day pedestrian race of the agricultural could give you a problem or two.
Yeah, don't I know it, Sarge. Wish we could stop it. Trying to walk 500 miles in 6 days, that's no sport. For sheer cruelty, even bare-knuckle fighting don't compare.
The crowds don't think so, nor do the wobblers. They're professional.
It's not the pros that bother me, Sarge. They're going for the 500 guinea prize. It's the rest, vagrant street scum, all swarming in for the 10 sovereign start money.
They'll be working for it, Thackeray.
Sarge, the state they're in most won't last out one day, let alone six. Now, you mark my words, Sarge, for some of them, this race could be no more than a wobble to death.
Right. Who'll take a sovereign on how many will end up in coffins?
How many do you reckon could afford one?
Here, cast your eyes on him, in the gold specs.
Looks more like a plucked chicken than a proven pedestrian. Reckon he was left over from last week's poultry show. You see his number?
12. That'd make him, Mostyn hyphen Smith, Dr. Francis W. Blimey.
Francis Mostyn Smith. Double barrel for a half pint, eh? What with hyphens and guards officers, pet racing's getting proper respectable.
Guards officers?
Call yourself a reporter. There. Erskine Chadwick, Balliol College, Oxford, Captain 3rd Dragoons, and Champion Pedestrian of England.
Well, if he's here, can't think why the rest bother.
There's still one or two about, we'll give him a run.
You wouldn't be thinking of Charlie Darrell.
So you have done some homework. Yes, I'm thinking of Charlie Darrell. He's come a long way in 2 years.
Yes, Ozo Flaherty, the Dublin Stag. Have you seen the odds on him? Hey, come on. Looks like Sol Elliott's going to have a say.
That's better. Now, for those contestants who are unable to read, so that you all know what you have signed, I shall recap on the main rules. Competitors may go as they please, walking or running, for the next 6 days and nights. Every contestant is allowed one attendant who may hand him refreshments, but only from the area marked on the track. Now, is that understood?
Yes.
Very well. The race will commence in 5 minutes. It will end at 10:30 on Saturday evening. The winner, in addition to the 500 guineas, will have entrusted to his keeping this belt, a fitting symbol for the champion pedestrian of the world. Now, if there are no questions...
Excuse me, Mr. Herriot.
Ah, an inquiry from contestant number 12, Mr. Mostyn Smith. Sir?
Footwear. Are there any restrictions?
I make none, but perhaps you, Mr. Darrell, as one of our more experienced contenders, would enlighten the gentleman.
Rule 6, footwear. No contestant will wear spiked boots or shoes. And while I'm at it, I don't want no one to forget Rule 7.
Rule 7?
It won't concern you, Titch, but I'm warning some of you others. Anyone who willfully jostles or blunders an opponent gets disqualified.
Unless his trainer has nobbled a judge. I'll wager friend Mostyn Smith's the only one who ain't.
Yeah, I don't reckon Charlie Darrell needs to either. Not with his size. And trained by devoted ex-pig Sam Monk.
Attention! Contestants are now under starter's orders.
You can't do that. Not yet.
You have some objection, Mr. O'Flaherty?
If it's the rule book you're going by, Mr. Herriot, then I have.
We await your comment, Mr. O'Flaherty, but I hope you'll keep it brief.
I'll be brief, all right. Your rules state this race don't start till all contestants are present. And the way I see it, the favourite ain't appeared yet.
You are referring to Captain Chadwick.
I'm referring to that stingy bastard in a specially warm tent. Still curling his moustaches, isn't he?
Time you was getting out there, Captain, sir.
Oh, confound you, Harvey. Stop waving that damn glass around. I can't see a bloody thing. Well, how does it look?
If I might suggest, sir, a touch more curl. If you permit me, sir.
Right.
Well, that's it, sir. Lovely.
Well, if you're quite certain, Harvey. Yes? Yes, I suppose it'll have to do. Now, what we have planned for dinner, eh?
Fowl, sir. Boiled.
With champagne, Harvey, and I may require some claret. And socks. I shall require a fresh pair at midnight and another at noon tomorrow.
Very good, sir.
And this time, Harvey, I'm sure they've been aired for at least 2 hours.
Yes, sir.
Well, I suppose I'd better get out there. You know, Harvey, there are times that I wonder why I ever agreed to mix with this rabble.
Then bloody good luck to you all!
Lord, watch Charlie Darrell. He's streaking right away from the captain.
Just what old Kendrick wants. He'll bottle behind until Charlie busts his gut. That's when you'll see his real form. Now, my throat's a mite dry, so I'll let them get on with it.
Slow your pace, Noble Baron, or you'll nail yourself.
Hardly, O'Flaherty, seeing I do not have any of your disadvantages.
Oh, that's telling you, Dublin.
Save your breath, Chogi. What disadvantages, Noble Baron?
I have no wish to be personal, O'Flaherty. However, since you inquire, you are overweight. Your complexion indicates more than a passing acquaintanceship with alcohol.
Yeah.
And I would diagnose that your heart, even at this early stage, is beating faster than it should. My advice would be to retire, now, while you can.
Better men than you have said that, Noble Barrel. No, I won't be retiring. At least not until Saturday night.
6 days more, O'Flaherty. If they feel it can happen in 6 days.
Right, Noble Barrel. You could end up wishing you'd stayed at the London Athletic Club with the rest of the amateurs.
I may be new to wobbling, Arthur, but rest assured I do know what I'm talking about. Your bodily condition is slack.
You don't haze me, Double Barrel. It's been tried before. Now, if you knew anything about wobbling, you'd know it's weight that carries me. Ain't that true, Chalky?
You're saying it, Dublin. I'd watch him careful, Double Barrel, seeing as how you're sharing his tent.
Watch it, Chalky.
Oh, I am, but Astley's wobble last March, Dublin. You remember what happened there?
Astley's wobble, Chalk?
One more word out of you, Chalky, and I'll...
Hey, watch your elbows, Dublin. It was nothing, Double Barrel. Just a joke. Yeah, that's it. A joke. Right, Dublin?
Right. So we leave it at that.
And I suggest we all save our breath and concentrate. I will see you later, gentlemen.
You will, Double Barrel. You will. I never did trust dark horses, Chalky. So come on, let's make it a race.
Yeah.
To the race, gentlemen, and to the next 6 days. As I was saying to my manager, Mr. Jacobson here, I said, Walter, for the press, nothing is too good.
As promoter of this...
No. Before you ask anything, to the success of the competitors and to your health.
Your health.
That is gracious of you, Mr. Elliot, but I'm a mite more interested in the health of the peds, especially since Chadwick and Darrell appear to have been segregated.
Segregated?
Yeah.
No. Darrell and Chadwick are simply using the inner track.
Well, why not let them run with the others?
What? Answer me a question, gentlemen. Why do we have different classes of railway travel? Why do some tickets for the music hall cost a shilling and others a guinea? I'll tell you. Because first class is always reserved for the best. So, Chadwick shares a track with Darrell. The captain has never been beaten in long distance walking. And Darrell, in the last 3 years, has proved himself the only pedestrian fit to challenge him.
But surely, if Chadwick and Darrell use the inner track, they have an advantage. They must cover a shorter distance than the peds outside.
Obviously, you've not studied the rules. Here. Now, contestants on the inner track, otherwise Chadwick and Darrell, will complete 8 circuits to every mile. Those on the outer perimeter will complete 7. It's a fair race.
Well, it depends how you look at it. Well, there are 2 peds on the inner track, 14 on the outer, right?
That is established.
So when Chadwick or Darrell overtake, there's more than enough room to pass.
Absolutely.
But on the outer track, the peds are bunched, close. Any ped overtaking has to move right out to the edge. And in 6 days, that can add up to a mite of extra walking.
The sleeping accommodations, they don't compare either.
Chadwick and Darrell have provided their own tents. And for the rest, all that's contained. Beds, gas jets, toilets, cupboards, just because some have to share.
Some of them, Mr. Jacobson. The only two who ain't are Chadwick and Darrell.
Well, I am not a hotelier. For some of them, warmth and a roof are all that's necessary. Now, drink up, gentlemen.
Public too crowded for you, Thackeray?
Blimey. You startled me, Mr. Cribb.
Something wrong with your arms, Thackeray?
Arms? Why, no, Sergeant.
Looks from here they're glued to your trouser seams. I reckon they'd be more comfortable wrapped round that tankard. East India, is it?
Yes, Sergeant.
Sit down, man. 2 more East Indias here, Ada, when you're free. Now that we're both comfortable, your health, Thackeray.
Sarge.
It's lucky for you I'm not the duty inspector.
Well, gets awful dry beat bashing, Sarge, you know that.
I haven't forgotten. But if I were you, I'd stagger my refreshment breaks. At least the unofficial ones.
Point taken, Mr. Cribb.
Oh, and speaking of staggering, Thackeray, what's the latest on the race?
Well, they set off about 6 hours ago, Sarge. Last I heard, Charlie Darrell was well in the lead.
Darrell? Mm. I thought Captain Chadwick was favoured.
Yeah, he is. But the last time I looked in at the hall, Darrell was giving the captain a clean pair. Maybe putting on a show for his wife, huh?
His wife, Thackeray?
Yes, Sarge. Cora Darrell. Oh, You should see her. A real lady if ever I saw one.
Your husband, Mrs. Darrell. Poetry in motion.
Thank you, Mr. Herriot. It's a compliment which I'm sure Charlie will appreciate.
Only 7 hours gone and he's 6 miles ahead of Captain Chadwick already.
6.5 miles.
I'm concerned that my poor Charlie may be suffering.
If he's suffering now, ma'am, God help him by Saturday. But no matter. There's one thing certain. Charlie Darrell isn't leaving that track. Leastways, not until I give the word. And as his trainer, I know when that'll be.
Oh, pray do not misunderstand me, Mr. Monk. I know that but for your guidance, Charlie would not be where he is now.
And neither should I, ma'am. Never forget that.
How can I? No, I assure you, Mr. Monk, I have nothing but complete admiration for your methods. Your timing and attention to detail leaves nothing to be desired.
Charlie faces very little competition. Oh, no, Chadwick's panicked. He'll run himself into the ground long before Charlie even gets his second wind.
I do hope so, Mr. Monk. But I get chills simply watching the captain. He has such fine muscles. And even now he moves faster than Charlie.
If Sam Monk says your husband will win, ma'am, then he will.
Right, Walter. And since I've waged a pony on young Charlie, I don't plan to lose it. Now, Mrs. Darrell, if you would accompany me, I should like to show you Charlie's sleeping accommodation.
Oh, that would interest me greatly, Mr. Monk. And perhaps on the way, you would permit me to discuss a problem with you. It's of a personal nature, so I trust that you gentlemen will excuse us. Good night, gentlemen.
Of course, ma'am. Of course. A very desirable woman. Hey, Walter? But now we too must talk business. Everything is going well?
Forecasts, Sol, I don't make. But we should end in profit.
We must end in profit, Walter. That you must never forget. Now, I have a dinner to attend at the London Sporting, so I leave everything in your hands.
As usual, Sol.
And don't send for me. Yes, you may send for me, but only if the hall catches fire.
Enjoy your evening. I'll look after everything here. After all, your interests and mine are the same, at least for the next 5 days.
Only 5 more bloody days to go, so keep wobbling, Double Barrel.
I don't count days, Chalk. Only laps.
Right. You know, Dublin, you've got to give Double Barrel his due. He's outlasted some shop men already.
Here is a doctor or something. Yeah. Word is he trains on a elixir. Something special.
It had better be, Dublin. He'll need it after a night sharing your tent. I wouldn't even wish that on the bloody captain. Here, you're still having trouble with them banshees.
Hold your ruddy tongue, Billy boy.
So it was true, Dublin.
Aye, as true as he's bouncing round this track. During Astley's wobble it was. That right, Dublin?
I said hold your bloody tongue, Billy.
Easy, Dublin, easy. Hey, anyone seen Cora Darrell on this round?
No. Last I saw, she was with Sam Monk, heading for his rest tent.
Well, what's there to see there?
Bed. And Cora ain't the sort to pass one by. Not if there's a fancy man around.
Seeing as I ain't ever been in that position.
Then you must be one of the few, Billy boy. I reckon every other pit in London has. Hey, she must be speeding up. She's coming out.
How about Charlie, then? Don't it bother him?
Oh, he ain't like you and me, Billy boy. When he trains, it's no ale, no tobacco, no women. So if Cora needs amusing, she can't go to Charlie. But he don't stand in her way if she looks elsewhere.
I don't reckon it myself. Hey, look at Double Barrel.
Ooh.
Trouble, Double Barrel?
Not at all, Williams. I have completed 360 circuits. 90 miles precisely on schedule. Now I intend to break for my customary refreshment. Relax for 30 minutes and then have some strong words with the so-called management. I will rejoin you later, gentlemen.
Oh, Mr. Smith.
I understand you are in charge of this so-called event, Jacobson.
Yes, Mr. Smith, in Mr. Herriot's absence.
The name Jacobson is Mostyn Smith, Dr. Mostyn Smith. Now, where is Herriot?
At this hour, where else but in bed? Now, you have a problem?
No, but I believe you do.
Please explain, Doctor.
For a start, the sleeping accommodations are completely unsatisfactory. There is no sanitation. Within a few hours, the stench will become totally intolerable.
You must know, sir, that this is the Agricultural Hall. It was established by the Smithfield Association. As such, it's often used for agricultural shows.
It is also used for many other events. I do not believe that when Patty gave her concert here that foul odours were part of her accompaniment. The last agricultural show ended over 2 weeks ago. Sufficient time, I would have thought, for you to have cleaned up the sleeping area.
I'm certain Mr. Herriot will have an explanation.
Oh, he'll explain, all right. To the press. Unless the hut I share with Dublin, Mr. O'Flaherty, is scrubbed clean with disinfectant.
Very well. I will see to it in the morning.
No, Jacobson. You will see to it tonight and every night. That is understood? Good. You see, Mr. Jacobson, hygiene, care of the body, is a matter of great importance to me.
Mr. Jacobson, your kitchens, they've caught fire.
The flames is going all over the place.
Out you get, then. Go on. And that goes for the rest of you. Come on. Move. Now, let's not have any panic. You there. And you. There's a hose down the corridor. Roll it in the arm. Move your plates. Now, come on.
The fire brigade. Has anyone sent for the
brigade? Yes, wait outside, sir. Please, will you?
In here. God. Come on, let's get some water.
Not there, in that corner. Right. Now hold it there. Good man.
That's about it. I reckon they can shut the water off now.
Right. Turn it off out there. Someone shut that ready door before we all choke.
The damage, is there much?
It'll look better when it dries out, sir. Now, I'd move back a bit if I were you. It's still a bit warm.
You have discovered how it started.
Not yet, sir. Mina might too busy for that. Anyone here see what happened?
Yeah, Mary Foster, she started it.
That's a bleeding lie. It was an accident.
Tell me what happened, miss, then we'll see.
It was a bowl of dripping. I slipped and it fell on a stove. Well, it caught fire. It went all over the floor. I couldn't help it.
What? No, if you haven't been looking out for your fancy man.
Fancy man, how dare you? I'm respectable. No one here can deny it.
Of course, I laugh.
That's enough from all of you. Now get in there and start clearing up. You there, Mary. I wish you to stay behind.
Please, sir. It was an accident.
Oh, stop snivelling, woman. You need have no fears for your employment. Now, how long are you on duty for?
Until 6 tomorrow morning, sir.
Do you live nearby?
Very close, sir. Out there in Parkfield Street.
Good. Then go to your lodgings and rest for 1 hour. And when you return, see me. I'll have a job for you in another part of the building.
Very good, sir. And thank you, sir.
And as there's nothing else I can do here, sir, I'll escort the lady home, seeing it on the beat. Be safe, miss.
Walter, I just heard.
Oh, evening, Constable. Is it bad?
No, sir. Small blaze. Accidental. Nothing a lick of paint won't cure. Your manager will explain. Oh, I'll bid you good night.
Good night, Constable.
Come along, miss.
You know, Walter, gives me a great feeling of security to know that such men exist. Honest, loyal, without them...
Yes, Sol. But for the moment, the kitchens are unusable.
Temporarily, Walter. And meals are already being prepared in the refreshment tent. Cold, but good enough for the peds. Now, Walter, go home. Change your clothes. They stink of smoke. And you know I... I like nothing but Havana.
Ugh! Cigar smoke, fog, gas fumes, cattle dung. I tell you, Harvey, my lungs are ruined.
Here, knock somebody's back. Make you feel better, sir.
Perhaps, Harvey. But tell me, how can a gentleman practice athletics in such sordid conditions?
Just lie back, sir. Now, relax. You'll be as fit as a fiddle by the time I finish with you.
Move to the shoulders, Harvey.
Yeah.
Ah, yes, there. Walking, I can give any man 5 miles and 100 on the open road, but this running in circles...
Oh, you do it, sir. And as for that Charlie Darrell, he can't last much longer.
No.
His blisters will do for him, sir. Fair hobbling he was the last hour.
With his blisters, I'm not surprised. You must admit he's got guts. It puzzles me that his man... what's his name?
Monk, sir.
Yeah, the monk. Monk, it puzzles me that Monk allows him to run with nothing on his feet.
Running barefoot? You lost your head, Charlie.
Well, I had to, didn't I? The boots was rubbing. See the blisters?
I've got eyes right now. Lie back. See what we can do. Fine bloody mess they're in. You should have come in hours ago. You might even have seen Cora.
Oh, so she'd come down?
She said she would.
Oh, no, but I told her to keep away.
Keep away? Hey, sometimes, Charlie, I wonder about you.
Ah, it's not that I don't want to see her, Sam, you know that. It's just, well, 6 weeks. It's a long time. Just looking at her makes me...
It won't be much longer, Charlie, and just think... With the winnings from this mix, you won't be training for a while. You could have a couple of months off. Rent a cottage somewhere.
Cornwall, by the sea. Over Christmas. That's where I fancy. Oh, here, what's that stuff you're slapping on?
A calf's bladder. Best remedy I know. It'll be like running on velvet. There now, how does that feel?
Oh, good as new. Honest, Sam, as a trainer, you don't half take some beating.
It's not me you have to worry about, Charlie Ladd. It's Chadwick, and don't you forget it.
Oh, how can I, with him only a mile behind?
There's 5 days still to go. You'll take 3 hours of shut-eye, and when you wake up, you'll be as fit as old Nick himself.
What about you, Sam?
Me? Well, let's say, Charlie Ladd, that I'll be out looking after your interests. Now then, come on, lie back. Cora, you might have left the light on.
Not at this hour, Sam. Come in and have a chair.
Thanks, but I rather fancy that footstool by the fire. Ooh, it's perishing out. Ah, that feels more like it.
You're very punctual, Sam. I take it all's going well.
Aye, I told Charlie he could kick till 4. You don't mind if I have a cigar?
Of course not, Sam. Charlie, he is still leading, isn't he?
He is. And apart from a mite of foot trouble, fit as a fiddle. Chadwick's suffering, though. Bad. And it's only the first day.
So, Charlie's doing well. I am pleased. You must wake him at 4?
On the stroke. I have a cab coming at 3:30.
Well, that doesn't leave us much time.
Oh, time enough. You were supper tonight. Did you enjoy it?
The menu was excellent. The company could have been better. Maybe some night I'll persuade you to escort me.
No, not me, Cora. Let them with the brass supply the wine. I'll provide what you don't want from them, eh? I've had a tot first. I'm still chilled. Now, where's the glasses?
There, by Charlie's trophy.
You know, Cora, there's peg history in this belt. These names, Johnny White, Young England, and then Charlie Darrell. It made me proud the day that Charlie won it outright.
I believe you really mean that.
I do, Cora. You see, by rights, there should be another name on that belt. Mine. 15 years ago, I ran against Johnny White. Oh, I could have thrashed him stupid, but, well, I was young, still wet. So when Johnny's man offered me 50 gold once to slow up, I did. Let Johnny walk it in slow time.
And you never went against him again?
No. Johnny held the belt until Young England thrashed him. Then it was Charlie. That's why when he's out there wobbling, I'm with him. Every yard of the way.
Except when you take his place here with me. Now, drink up.
Are we not going upstairs, then?
Why waste time, Sam? Besides... Charlie's never approached me in front of the fire. So, Sam, here. Love me here.
Oh, tell you, this hall is haunted.
Oh, so you don't believe me?
Of course we do, Dublin. But our readers will take some convincing.
Banshees, Dublin, they're like leprechauns. Too many of them, especially after a paddy's had a nip or two.
Oh, it's too bloody early in the race for that. Oh, I've me pick-me-up ready, all right, but I'll not be touching it before Thursday, and that's the God's truth.
But you said you were asleep when it happened, Dublin.
No, I just got in. I was lying back on the cot. Then I heard the scratching and breathing. Then the smell came. It was all about me. It was then I saw her, the spectre of death, cloaked in black and crawling straight for me, her perfume like all the rotten corpses in hell. I knew I had to save my soul. I jumped up and shouted. The she-devil recognized the wrath of God. She screamed and ran out.
A she-devil, Dublin, steeped in sin. And you couldn't catch her? Oh, for a vision like that, Dublin, I'd have surrendered my holy soul.
The man who jokes at death risks his salvation. May the saints forgive you.
Oh, they may, Dublin, but I'm not so sure about friend Mostyn Smith.
Double barrel? He wasn't there.
Well, perhaps that's why he's heading this way now. Good morning, Dr. Mostyn Smith.
I'm glad you think so. Now what the devil have you been up to, O'Flaherty?
Me, Double Barrel?
Such innocence, O'Flaherty. Gentlemen, I walk all through the night. I make up 28 laps, and when I come off to take a brief rest, what do I find? A shambles, gentlemen, instead of a clean, disinfected hut.
Disinfected hut in this hall?
Yes, in this hall. I spoke to Mr. Jacobson last night. I persuaded him to have our hut scrubbed and disinfected. I anticipated that O'Flaherty might prefer to relax surrounded by the refreshing aroma of carbolic. But instead, I find...
The corpses from hell, eh, Dublin?
Instead, I return to chaos and a message from Jacobson to say that his cleaning woman is in hysterics and that I have attacked her. How do you explain that, O'Flaherty?
Carbolic cleaning woman, if I get my hands on you, Double Barrel... No, Father, save me from committing a mortal sin.
And there was Dublin screaming at Double Barrel like one of his own banshees. One more scare like that and it'll be curtains for him. Right, Mr. Harvey?
Yeah. Could have put paid to Dr. Mustin Smith's chances as well, Mr. Monk.
Right, Mr. Harvey. But it doesn't solve our problem. Now, we're both reasonable men. We both know that neither Charlie or the captain can hold this lick. Look, if they burn each other off, what happens? Who gets the prize?
O'Flaherty, maybe Chalk.
Right. Second raters, both. And neither of us would want that. Now, I'm not suggesting we fix the result. No. What I say is that your bloke and mine share the pace.
Ah.
That way they'll both break the 600-mile record. Then, come Saturday, they can open up and fight this race out between them. Fair, Mr. Harvey?
Not a chance, Mr. Monk. If your Charlie's as crocked as you say, then the captain ain't going to wait. But I'll give you some advice. Gratis. Switch some rhino onto the captain. That way you won't be cleaned out. Well, not completely, Mr. Monk.
What happens if he drops
out? Gentlemen, please, if you'll have your pencils ready, I can give you the positions. At the end of the first day, Charlie Darrell is still in the lead. He's covered 117 miles.
And the captain?
Captain Chadwick is just 1 mile behind.
Cool, and I stayed awake for this. At that pace, they won't even break 500 miles by Saturday.
Which means no record. My editor ain't going to like that, Mr. Jacobson.
Gentlemen, it's still early, and don't forget, even if the two favourites have slowed down, Williams and O'Flaherty are going very well. They're only 4 miles behind Chadwick. Well, think of the excitement if there was an upset.
Yeah, it might make the bookies happy.
Now, the refreshment tent is open, so please avail yourselves. I'll talk with you later.
Oh, well, excuse for going back to the anyway.
Well, Walter?
Oh, you should have talked to them, Sol. They're worried.
So am I, Walter. The takings. In one day, only £260.
So today the crowd is small. On Wednesday and Thursday we fill the place. On the last 2 days it'll be standing room only. Believe me, Sol.
Such certainty. I tell you, Walter, it cannot happen. Not now. Who would think that Chadwick, Darrell, the two best peds in England, would slow up?
You advised me to promote this race, Walter. You agreed to manage it. So now you will do that. You will see. No. You will ensure that Darrell does not drop out. He must run, walk, crawl until Saturday. Do you understand, Walter? Until Saturday.
I understand, Sol, but I will not be the scapegoat.
You're right, Walter. You are right. I apologize. And since I selected Darrell and Chadwick, I will be responsible if anything goes wrong. But Walter, you see Sam Monk. See if he's playing some kind of game. We must know.
Charlie! 4 o'clock, Charlie! Ooh. Come on, rise and shine!
Oh, what a fuss is Sam. Oh, it's freezing.
Come on, lad, get washed.
You look like you've been up all night.
I told you, I had one or two things to look after.
But you got some rest?
I lay down for a bit. Now, what you need is a livener.
You putting on another bladder?
As soon as you get this down.
Why, you better fill it up again, Sam. I wish I knew what you put in it.
It works, doesn't it?
Like a charm.
Then drink it and don't ask questions.
What's the plan for today, then?
Well, my guess is Chadwick will try and break you.
So, it's who breaks first, that it?
Come on, get your foot up. Now, hold that sock back. There, how does that feel?
Good as new. I thought you was going to have a word with Harvey.
I did. The bastard wouldn't agree.
I reckon I'll have to make him then.
No, you forget, Chadwick. Find a pace that suits you and stick to it. You ready?
Sharp as they come, Sam. That captain had better look out. That stuff of yours works like bloody lightning.
Young Charlie's made a fine start, Sam. Be back just 2 hours and 2 miles ahead of Chadwick already. I didn't think he could recover so much. Not after the distance he lost yesterday.
But he's going too fast. It's not right, Charlie. He knows you can't play about with pace.
You didn't instruct him to warm up the pace?
No. What the hell is he playing at?
Maybe he heard you. He's slowing up.
Good. Maybe he's starting to suffer.
So, you'll call him in?
No, Mr. Jacobson. If Charlie hasn't learned that you don't bolt like a goose at Christmas on the second morning of a race, then he deserves what he gets. And I'm not sparing him no sympathy. Not yet.
His blisters?
Oh, I've seen worse. And Charlie won't give up on that account.
I hope he won't give up on any account. Be disastrous for our promotion if Charlie and the captain don't last out the 6 days for their final duel.
All right, then it's Chadwick's man you should be talking to. We're not going to stop. Not before Saturday.
What the hell's he up to?
He's staggering badly. Maybe, Sam, you should call him in.
He's collapsed. Cramp. Oh, God. He was asking for it at that lick. He had to get cramp.
Oh, the stupid bleeding...
That's my diagnosis, Mr. Herriot. This man has a saline deficiency. He's totally exhausted.
But not to run for 12 hours. Wait. He is a sportsman. Such men recover quickly. Is that not so, Doctor?
12 hours, Mr. Herriot, or I'll not hold myself responsible. His pulse is dangerously fast.
Mr. Monk, what do you say? Maybe another opinion?
I don't know. Charlie looks bad. Easy, Dad, easy. Oh, dear.
Mr. Herriot, I'd require a stretcher. He must be moved immediately.
Oh, stay there, Doc. I'll get one.
Mr. Monk, your man, I just...
You can't see him now, Double Barrel.
Mr. Monk, I have a degree in medicine. Maybe I can assist.
Oh, all right. That is, if the other doc doesn't mind. Do you, Doc?
No. I should be in your debt, Doctor.
Thank you. Mr. Herriot, will you stay within call? I may have need for urgent medical supplies.
Go up there, Chalky. Double Barrel's coming on again.
Double Barrel, is Charlie all right? Is he coming back on?
I fear not. I did what I could.
You don't mean he's crocked out?
No, Williams. I mean that Mr. Darrell died about an hour ago.
What?
By the Lord, I don't believe it. Mercy.
To think that poor Charlie wobbled himself to death.
I did not say that, O'Flaherty.
But you just said he was dead.
Yes, but I believe the post-mortem will show that overtaxing his system was not the true cause of Mr. Darrell's demise.
But you know what is.
I have an idea. I feel I should warn you that Darrell may have died from tetanus poisoning.
Tetanus poison? Well, a mate of mine died from that. But he was an ostler.
Very likely. Stable and farm workers are prone to tetanus infections.
But Charlie Darrell's no farmer.
Perhaps he trained on a farm.
No, he always took his breathings at Hackney Wick. Sammy Monk told me.
Now that's as may be. But if there is one building in London where tetanus may be contracted...
It's this bloody hole. You're right, Double Barrel. It's the biggest stinking cow shit in the country. Oh, I don't know about you lads, but I'm off.
Right, Charlie.
There is no need to panic, gentlemen.
No, we stay here and we could end up like Charlie.
That is unlikely, O'Flaherty. Our hut has been cleaned. The rest are to be done immediately. No. No, I believe that Darrell was infected when he ran barefoot on Monday night. The open blisters would have allowed the infection to enter his body. So if we all retain our footwear and keep any cuts or abrasions covered, we should be perfectly safe.
So you're all for carrying on, Double Barrel?
As a doctor, I consider the risk to be small. As a runner, I shall make up for lost time by increasing my stride. And remember, if you withdraw, I could be among the leaders by Friday.
With poor Charlie gone, Captain Chadwick, how do we hold the crown?
Yeah, I agree that circumstances are tragic, but as a military man, one learns to accept death philosophically. Are you sure you won't have some champagne?
Speaking frankly, Captain, the crowds are here only to see you and Charlie Darrell.
I would agree that, Mr. Jacobson.
So now we must consider how to rearrange the event.
Unfortunately, there's no single competitor worthy to run against you.
But I deduce you have a solution.
Yes, I have. We dispense with the inner track.
What? Dispense with my track? You dare suggest that I, Erskine Chadwick, appear on the same track as those... dunks and half-wits out there?
Oh, many of them are well-known pedestrians.
Clowns and criminals, all of them. Gentlemen, do not forget that I hold Her Majesty's commission, so I am not unused to dealing with such rabble. But one on the same path with them, never.
So you intend to retire? Very well, Captain. I shall inform the press.
I did not say that, Mr. Harriet.
But if there is no acceptable rival, who? What else?
The closest contestant is William. I shall permit him to share the inner twack. You may inform him.
I doubt he will accept.
No?
There is talk that Darrell died from tetanus contracted on the inner path. The ground could still be contaminated.
Answer me, Harriet. If I were to move to the outer twack, the benefit to you would be great. Naturally, I shall expect compensation for my sacrifice.
You agree, Captain... And I'll give you 50. To recognize a sporting gesture.
Double it, Harriet. And I could be even more sporting.
100. Very well, Captain. It is agreed.
Provided, of course, that this floor is disinfected immediately.
I will see it's done.
Excuse me, Mr. Jacobson, sir.
What is it, Mary?
There's two gentlemen, sir, to see Mr. Harriet. They said it was important.
No more pressmen, Walter. Go and tell them.
They're from the police, sir.
Police? Oh, very well. Show them into my office. You wish to see us, gentlemen?
Ah, is your Mr. Harriet the manager of this circus?
Not the manager, no.
I promoted this race, yes. My manager is Jacobson here. Cribb,
sir. Sergeant Cribb, Detective Branch. I believe you've met Constable Thackeray.
Last night, sir, after the fire...
Oh, of course, the gallant constable. Now, tell me, Sergeant, why is Detective Branch interested in a small fire?
Oh, they're not, sir. What they are interested in is the death of Charles Frederick Darrell, pedestrian.
Darrell?
Mm.
But his death was accidental. Tetanus poisoning.
Oh, he was poisoned all right, sir, but tetanus, no. No. There was enough strychnine in Darrell's corpse to put down a brewery dray. What I'm interested in, sir, is who put it there and why?
The motive could have been church la femme, Sarge.
French Thackeray? Who have you been mixing with? I'm beginning to doubt you. Cherche la femme. Yeah, I take it you mean Cora Darrell.
She does have a way with men, Sarge. And Harriet seemed taken.
So did Jacobs. And both indicated that Sam Monk might be involved. And he was seen taking her into the sleeping tent.
Only for about 5 minutes, Sarge.
It ain't for how long that's significant, Thackeray. What is how many people seem to have noticed. Here, pass over that copy of the Star.
Right.
Now, here. See? The report says that Darrell was in poor shape. No rest for 24 hours. Blistered feet. We know that Monk calls him off around 1 o'clock this morning. He then sleeps for 3 hours. When he gets back on the track, it's at a pace that scares the devil out of Chadwick. Indicate something, Thackeray?
Well, Sarge, most of those peds, well, we know they take stimulants.
Don't stop, Thackeray.
The way Darrell moved off suggests he could have been fed with something.
Let us suppose he was, Thackeray. What?
His symptoms, Sarge. Cramps, spasms, could be strychnine.
My thinking, precisely. Now, Darrell had his first spasm when?
Jacobson puts it about 6:30, Sarge.
Which makes it about 2 hours after Darrell returned to the track. If it was strychnine, the spasm should have come later.
Exercise, Sarge. That could speed up the effect. A doc could tell you.
Brilliant, Thackeray. You just earned yourself another pint.
Oh, I'll get them, Sarge.
Later, Thackeray. Right now, you will consult our expert, Dr. Mostyn Smith.
But he's on the track, Sarge.
So, Thackeray, you're the beat basher. And since the doctor's lost enough time already, I suggest you develop your thirst. Get out there after him.
And where'll you be, Sarge?
Me, Thackeray? I shall be in the refreshment tent, having a word with Sam Monk.
No more, Sam.
Oh, come on. Fill it up again.
Come on, Sam. Bed, that's what you need.
Oh, Charlie's gone. You deny me a drink. Now, come on, hand over that bottle.
That's the last one, then.
You know, Charlie and I were partners. I made him. He'd have been world champion.
Your name, Monk?
Sam Monk. Who are you?
Cribb's the name. I'm a police detective. You ready to talk about Charlie Darrell?
He's dead. He'd have won this mix and broke the record.
That's not what I heard. His feet blistered badly.
Oh, no, they was all right. I put the word out they was bad.
Tell me, Monk, did Darrell have anything to eat?
Eat? No, he didn't eat.
Well, nothing at all for 24 hours.
Well, he had the odd hunk of bread, you know, while he went round.
He ate nothing after you called him in?
No, he just wanted to sleep.
So you put him to bed?
Aye.
What did you do then?
Me? I saw a friend.
Here?
No, I went out. I took a cab.
Must have been a very good friend to make you leave, Charlie.
Well, he was asleep. I came back at 4 to wake him.
This friend, who was it?
Oh, lady, just a lady. You appreciate discretion. No names, please.
You visited a lady.
Aye.
You came back at 4. Did you go straight to the tent?
Aye. No, I had words with Harvey, Chadwick's man, but the bastard wouldn't agree. If he had...
You tried to make an arrangement with Harvey to pace set. That it?
Well, that way we'd both have won, but the ruddy lapdog wouldn't listen. Chadwick's lapdog, that's what he is, only jumps when his nibs orders.
So, you gave up on Harvey. What then?
Well, I went back to the tent, woke Charlie.
With a drink?
Yes, I gave him a drop of something.
Out of this?
Aye. Here, that's mine. Where did you get it?
I found it in the tent. Now, what's in it?
Well, it's a secret. Now, give it to me.
Now, don't touch it, Monk. Now, what's in it?
No, it's my recipe. I don't tell no one.
You'll tell me, Monk. Now.
Brandy, sugar, licorice.
What else, Monk?
Nothing, I swear. It's an elixir. It livens a man up wonderful.
You mean the strychnine in it does?
You knew all the time.
How much strychnine did it take to liven up Darrell?
Oh, half a crystal, same as always.
Oh, you prepared the mix before, always for Darrell?
No, I used it myself when I was wobbling.
How much did you give Darrell?
Well, the bottle was full, so work it out. But what he took wouldn't hurt a fly, not with what was in there. No.
Darrell's dead, and that Monk says you could be up for manslaughter.
No. No, it's Charlie died from tetanus. That isn't my doing. It's an illness.
Artificial tetanus, isn't
it? What?
They cut Charlie's body open. They found it was full of strychnine.
Ah, but he drunk some.
Then you must have dipped it in like sugar. So how much poison is in here, Monk? And where did you buy it?
I told you. I mixed half a crystal. I bought five, same as always, from a chemist, Haywards, in Bethnal Green. I've still got the rest.
Hand them over.
They're in my lodgings where I made up the stuff. 4.5 crystals in the file.
Address?
Rupert Row, 118.
Mm-hmm. Now, when did you bring this bottle to the hall?
Sunday, same day I made it.
And you kept it where?
Well, the tent, in the cupboard.
And you didn't use any before last night?
No, no, there was no need. Oh, God, I feel sick.
I'll let you go and rest, Monk. But I will see you again. Until then, you will not move out of this hall, understand? Thackeray, looks like you enjoyed your stroll.
Just as you thought, Sarge. The doc says exercise could have affected the strychnine, speeded it up.
Good work, Thackeray. Now, see, Mr. Jacobson, tell him to find Monk somewhere to sleep.
Right, Sarge. Where are we dossing, Sarge?
I have a cot in Harriet's office.
And me?
You, Thackeray, will go to the forensic laboratory. I want every liquid in Darrell's tent analysed. Results to me by the morning.
You sure there's nothing you forgot, Sarge?
Oh, well, Thackeray, since you mention it, you could wake me at 6 with coffee, and for heaven's sake, watch what goes into it. I have no desire to collapse before I visit Cora Darrell.
I am surprised, Sergeant Cribb, that you should have chosen such an inopportune moment to visit. But since you are here, you may sit down.
Thank you, Mrs. Darrell. May I proffer my condolences?
They are accepted. But you may tell Sam Monk.
Sam Monk, ma'am?
Well, surely it is he who asked you to intervene. But you could have saved yourself a journey. I have consulted a lawyer, and
Mrs. Darrell, Monk didn't want me to.
No, Sergeant, our mind is made up. We intend to sue Monk for negligence. The loss of a husband is tragedy enough, but there is our future to consider. If Monk had taken care of Charlie, we would have been richer by £1,000.
Yes, Mrs. Darrell, ma'am...
Do you deny Sam Monk was negligent? You cannot. Not after he let Charlie run barefoot round that disgusting track.
Ma'am, that is what I'm trying to tell you.
So, you agree, Mr. Cribb? Good. Then I shall sue Sam Monk and call you as a witness.
Ma'am, I am trying to tell you. Your husband did not die from tetanus.
Not tetanus? Well, then how?
Strychnine, ma'am. Your husband was poisoned.
Poisoned? Then Monk is still responsible. It was his tonic. I knew it was dangerous. Well, you do know that Sam Monk is a drinking man. It's obvious. He was intoxicated. He gave Charlie too much of the elixir. Negligence. Yes, I shall sue Monk for criminal negligence, and he can defend.
So, you learned nothing from Cora, Sarge?
Nothing we didn't know already. How's the race going?
Nothing much happened, Sarge. Harriet's moved Chadwick to the outer track.
Has he? And he's still running? I'd have thought he'd have pegged it.
Word is that the captain was persuaded. Mind you, Williams is giving him a good run. He's only 6 miles behind.
Is he? Oh, that must be bothering some of our bitting fraternity. How are the rest doing?
Well, when the second day bell went, Chadwick had run 202 miles. Williams and O'Flaherty were neck and neck. 196 miles each. The rest were all well behind.
I'd hope Mostyn Smith would have caught up a bit.
After the time he lost yesterday, Sarge, now he's over 30 miles behind Chadwick, being lapped all the time.
I know the feeling. The Bunsen and Beaker Brigade, they tell you anything?
Only that there was enough strychnine in the elixir to do every pit in the race. Darrell didn't have hope.
Makes it look bad for Monk. Get over to Bethnal Green, Thackeray. See the chemist, Haywood. Find out how much strychnine he sold Monk, then search his lodgings.
Sure.
How is Monk, anyway?
Still out of the world. In the hut next to Mostyn Smith. Snoring his head off.
O'Flaherty. Huh? Dublin. Oh. I believe you should rouse yourself.
Jesus, old pal. How do you manage to stay so fresh?
Just my methods.
Well, what's doing out there?
The crowd's grown, hoping for more blood, no doubt. It even made Harriet smile for a change. But Cora may have had something to do with that as well.
But Cora Darrell, she been here?
Like a black widow in full mourning. They say she's out for Sam Monk's blood.
Yeah, who isn't? With all the money lost on Charlie. Sam's done for this time. There's not a pen in London who'll touch him, not after this. Now, we need washing water. Are you coming?
When you put something on your feet. I may have been mistaken over Darrell's demise, but the risk of tetanus is still here.
How's Chadwick shaping?
Still leading, but very uncomfortable. I don't think he likes the outer path.
No. Billy Boy and Chalky, they shin tapping him, or is it the elbow in the ribs?
Bit of both. The smell of these latrines. Yeah. Fluffy, that doesn't smell like...
It's gas, Double Barrel. Hey, coming from next door.
Some oaf's left a tap on. Come on.
That bloody door. Oh, no, no, stand back.
I think there's someone in here.
Oh. No, I get him out. You turn the gas off. God. Hey. It's Sam Monk. Well, do something, Double Barrel.
There's nothing anyone can do. He's been dead for hours.
This is to show how sorry I am. I did not mean him to die. Signed by Monk. Where did you find this, Mr. Jacobson?
There, on the table. There by the bed.
Wouldn't take gas long to fill this place. Especially with that ventilator closed. Screwed down tight. Do you know if Monk could write?
Well, you have a note. It's signed by Monk.
Don't prove he wrote it, but we'll verify that.
Do you need me for anything else, Sergeant?
Not for the moment, sir, no.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Well, any sign of a pencil, Thackeray?
Nothing, Sarge. Maybe he wrote the note before he came in here.
Perhaps, but don't forget he was staggering drunk.
It took Jacobson all his time to get him on the cot.
And you don't find that significant? We know that Monk was dead drunk, yet he produced a note from somewhere, climbed on the cot, and screwed down that ventilator. From there, he moved right across to the opposite side of the room, turned on the mantle and the gas ring, and then lay down again. Can you really see it happen, Thackeray?
He did have 5 hours to sober up, Sarge.
Granted. But why should Monk want to kill himself?
Conscience, Sarge, over Darrell's death.
Why? Monk swore that his elixir contained a minute quantity of strychnine. Therefore, it could not be responsible for Darrell's death. So, why suffer conscience? He also told us when and where he bought the poison, and you checked that.
The chemist confirmed Monk was a regular.
And told him why he needed the strychnine.
He said it was for the pets.
True again. 7 purchases in 4 years. 5 crystals each time, all quite openly.
He always signed a poison book.
Which proves he could write, but it don't tell us whether he wrote this.
It's his scribble, Sarge. No doubt of it.
Now, his lodgings, Thackeray?
4.5 crystals in a file. In the cupboard.
Where he said they'd be. Yet this elixir contained a monstrous dose of strychnine. More than the total purchased by him in 4 years. Which says Darrell's death was no accident. And does away with Monk's motive for suicide.
Not if Monk killed him deliberately, Sarge.
No, Thackeray, no. The note reads, I did not mean him to die. Hardly the words of a premeditated murderer. And then there's one more fact. Why did Monk write the note before he came in here?
We don't know he did, Sarge.
He must have. He had no pencil in his pockets. You found none here. So, Thackeray, where did he write that note? And when?
May I have your attention, please?
Thank you, gentlemen. I have called you here to make an announcement of some importance. You will have heard that Mr. Samuel Monk, the attendant of the late Mr. Darrell, was himself found dead from the effects of gas. A note suggests that he took his own life.
These two tragedies have shocked and saddened me. So some of you have even expressed the view that the race should be stopped as a mark of respect. Now, I'm not insensitive, gentlemen. But to stop it, do we not overlook our obligations to the living? To the remaining nine who even now are more than halfway along the long road to victory. Captain Chadwick and Mr. O'Flaherty are battling gallantly with only 4 miles between them. 381 and 377 miles walked by those two men in 4 days. And let us not forget Dr. Mostyn Smith, who is even now less than 30 miles behind the two leaders. How could we tell those gallant sportsmen that their efforts were to be terminated? Would Charlie Darrell or Sam Monk have wished it? Gentlemen, I believe not. That is why I now state that this race will go on as planned.
Now, if you gentlemen would follow me, I have black armbands available. As you see, when you return to the track, all contestants are now wearing them as a mark of respect.
Competitors will wear black armbands as a mark of respect. Fair makes me sick.
Gives the reporters something, Thackeray?
They got enough with Chadwick, Sarge. You should see the poor blighter. Shins and ribs bruised. Balked every time he tries to pass. O'Flaherty make him all ground every hour. You should stop it, Sarge.
If I hadn't bungled so badly, I might have done, Thackeray. Now, I've got to keep our suspects firm under one roof.
Don't take it so hard, Sarge. It'd be different if you were a medic.
Agreed, Thackeray. But I shouldn't need no beardless mortuary attendant to point out Monk had been coshed. His head, Sergeant Cribb, a heavy blow obviously inflicted before death.
Well, I've seen the party that bashed Monk pulled his hair neat over the wound, Sarge. But anyone would have missed it.
Tell that to Inspector Jowett, Thackeray. But it does leave us with two murders and a brace of suspects.
You still including Cora Darrell, Sarge?
Naturally, Thackeray. Why else are we going to see her?
Murdered, Sergeant Creep? Sam Monk was murdered? And I said such terrible things about him.
Sam Monk was in no way negligent.
The strychnine came from elsewhere.
I see. Yet my husband is dead. Murdered? Someone must have had a reason.
Your husband was well fancied. With him out of the race, Captain Chadwick is bound to win. So, ma'am, anyone who bet heavy on the captain would have a motive.
And you are investigating all these people?
We are trying, ma'am. Number of bookmakers are being questioned, the competitors, the sportsmen.
Which is why you may be able to assist us, ma'am. Oh,
since I do not mix with that class of person, Sergeant, I hardly see how
no,
I can
No, you misunderstand me, Mrs. Darrell. It is just that you and your husband had a wide acquaintanceship in the sporting fraternity.
We have a number of friends, yes.
But some are closer than others. By that, I mean some do visit your home.
Naturally, Sergeant. Friends of us both were always welcome.
Naturally. You would classify Mr. Herriot or Sam Monk in that category?
They are... were both good friends, yes.
I see. Now, last Monday, you had a visitor that evening.
Last Monday? No.
You're very positive, ma'am.
Yes, Sergeant. You see, on Monday evening, I was out. I had dinner with friends.
Perhaps you would be so kind as to give us their names and address?
A mere formality, ma'am.
Very well. I dined with a Mr. and Mrs. Darby. They reside at Holly House, Trap Lane. In Highbury.
At what time did you return home, ma'am?
Oh, I believe it was about midnight. No, a little before. Anyway, it was before my maid came home. She is expected to be in her room by 12.
You're certain of that time, ma'am?
Yes. Why?
Your maid has told us that she was in her room well before 12, ma'am.
You have spoken to my maid? Sergeant, I find this intolerable.
Yes, perhaps, ma'am, but facts must be checked. Now, I have no wish to put the next question, so as to save you embarrassment, I shall answer it myself. My information is that you received a visitor and that he arrived in the early hours of Tuesday morning.
You are insulting, Sergeant. A man here after midnight?
Did you deny a man came?
The question is impertinent. I think you had better leave and take your constable with you.
Very well, ma'am. Thackeray, should you change your mind, the police office at the hall will locate me. At least for the next 2 days.
She's hiding something, Sarge.
Then let's prove it. Check with Mr. and Mrs. Darby first thing. Then alert every footloose copper in London. I want details of every sale of strychnine in the last 6 months. Names, dates, quantities, and Thackeray. I must have the information by Saturday.
Out of my way, Chalk! I must catch your flirty.
Well, then move to the outside, Double Barrel.
I would if you'd allow me. What? Very well, Chalk. Since you forced me...
You're learning, Double Barrel. But next time, try it with your elbow. It works better.
I hope there will be no need for a next time, Williams. O'Flaherty, slow down, man.
Just keep away from me, Double Barrel.
I must speak with you. Despite your views about last night, I was not trying to nobble you.
No? You woke me up 3 times, Double Barrel. And you still say you weren't nobbling.
No. Now, for heaven's sake, listen. Darrell is dead. Monk is dead. Logically, you have to be next.
Me? All right, all right. Now, why should someone be after me?
Because whoever killed Darrell and Monk wishes Chadwick to win.
Then I'm safe. He's 4 miles ahead.
No, you are 4 miles behind.
With 2 days more to go.
Precisely. And Chadwick's in poor shape. He's slowing, which makes you an obstacle. One which our killer must remove.
The only thing I'll be removing is you, Double Barrel. But before I throw you off this track, I tell you, if I'm next, it'll be a mercy. I'll be free from you. So just leave me a few minutes' peace before I get slaughtered.
Oh, you timed that well, Thackeray. You'll find a clean cup on the shelf.
Tea? Ah, oh, very welcome, Sarge. Phew. What a morning, eh?
Well, let's hear your report.
Poison books in all districts are being checked, Sarge. The locals didn't like the idea, but I used your name.
Caused them to jump, did it?
No, Sarge. Not until I said you were acting for Inspector Jarrett.
Hmm. What else, Thackeray?
I went up to Ibury, saw Mr. and Mrs. Darby.
I trust that result merited the effort.
They didn't see Cora Darrell on Monday night, Sarge. They were at the Lyceum watching Irving play about a moneylender in Venice. Didn't sound like much.
Obviously, the quality of your mercy is not strained, Thackeray. But at least we've resolved one problem.
We have, Sarge?
Oh, yes. Remember when I grilled Monk? He said he'd been with a lady.
You reckon it was Cora Darrell?
He could have got to Finsbury and back easily. But that was after midnight. Cora was out before then. We need to know where.
So she stayed on the list?
For the moment. But if Cora doctored the tonic, it had to be on Monday afternoon.
But she was with Monk, Sarge.
That's the only time she went into the tent. Problem is, it would make Monk an accomplice.
Except that we've cleared him, Sarge.
Cora could still have killed him, Thackeray. Supplied us with a murderer to save herself from swinging.
It's possible, Sarge. Well, best time would have been during the night.
Yes, but only during the times Darrell was out on the track and Monk was away. And that covers a lot of people.
So what now, Sarge?
We'll just have to dig, Thackeray. Ask some more questions. Starting with our rather curious Dr. Mostyn Smith.
Question, Sergeant Cripp. Why?
Because you puzzle me, Doctor.
I can't think why.
Then, sir, I'll tell you. You're a misfit.
And that might make me a murderer?
Oh, dear me, no, sir. Are you?
You are the detective, Mr. Cribb.
Oh, yes, sir. And I ask questions, put together facts, place things in their proper perspective, and you don't fit. Not here. An educated man, a doctor who suddenly enters a pedestrian race, starts contesting professionals. Makes me curious.
Then allow me to complete the puzzle, Sergeant.
My reasons are here. Mm. This box contains some 50 health foods, formulations concocted by me. My participation in this contest is by nature of an experiment.
To prove what, sir?
That my food will nourish the system, banish fatigue, recharge losses resulting from strenuous exercise. My rather odd appearance in this contest has been much commented on in the press. I have gained valuable publicity.
Which you will later use to advertise your products.
Naturally, and to sell them.
But to succeed, you must complete the race.
It is essential. I take it I will be permitted to continue.
Oh, you will. But I'll take a look at these elixirs. Don't worry, sir. They'll be here when you require them. Now, I'd get back on the track if I were you. You have some 25 minutes to make up.
So the doctor couldn't help, Sarge?
Only enough to pencil him off our lists.
Which leaves us with no one, Sarge.
So we go through them all again. Persistence, Thackeray. Have you got Monk's suicide note handy?
Sarge.
Good. Just read it to me, will you?
This is to show how sorry I am. I did not mean him to die.
I did not mean him to die. That's it, Thackeray. That's what's been bothering me.
What, Sarge?
When was the only moment when he would have felt remorse? Before he knew that Charlie Darrell had died from strychnine. Do you recall Mostyn Smith's original diagnosis?
Tetanus.
Exactly. And how is that disease contracted?
Through an open wound.
And Darrell was running barefoot. Monk could have stopped him, but he didn't. And Darrell died. Well, Thackeray?
So that's when he wrote his art, just after?
Yeah, I believe so. It's the only time he would have felt any guilt, right after Darrell's death.
So he did plan to kill himself?
No, but that's when he wrote it.
But if it wasn't a suicide, no, Sarge, why and who to?
Well, that, Thackeray, I would have thought was obvious.
Sarge?
You know, I think we have caught ourselves a murderer.
Oh. When do we arrest him, Sarge?
There's no hurry, Thackeray. I've a supper engagement tonight and one or two things to attend to in the morning before I return. You, Thackeray, must be here through the night. Be on the alert. I shall see you at midday.
Good morning, Thackeray.
Morning, Sarge.
Well, how's the race going?
Oh, Captain Chadwick's making the pace. Looks as fresh as a two-year-old.
Does he? How about the others?
Oh, none of them have a chance, Sarge. Not the way he's moving.
Still time for a turn-up.
Sergeant Cribb!
Mr. Harriet!
Sergeant, come quickly, I'm ruined.
Ruined?
Yes. Ruined. Finished. To think he could have done this.
Now, calm down, Mr. Harriet. Calm down. Who did what?
The safe. It's empty. £1,000. Gone. Oh, to think that Jacobson would do this.
Jacobson? Why Jacobson?
Only he had a key. And the staff, they say that he left a half an hour ago carrying a bag.
Well, in that case, he may need to stop off at his lodgings. And with only half an hour's start, yes, we'll try and catch him there. You, Thackeray.
Sergeant.
Nip out and find a cab. What's Jacobson's address, Mr. Harriet?
Trust Chadwick. Running the last few laps in his regimental colours.
Oh, for 500 quid and the rest of his winnings, I'd come out starkers. Last minute. O'Flaherty can't hope to catch him up now.
Pit by one lap. Luck of the Irish.
And I had to switch by Rhino to Mostyn Smith. Reckon with his elixirs he'd run O'Flaherty into the ground.
512 miles. The good doctor ain't done so bad, all things considered. Well, we might as well get to the finish and see Chadwick in. And Harriet's going to make a speech.
My friends! In Captain Chadwick! We have had a gallant winner! The 600-mile record was not broken, but his 538 miles in 6 days, well, few could match that! And Mr. O'Flaherty almost did, to come a worthy second. And I would ask for a special round of applause for our number three, Dr. Mostyn Smith. So, as our gallant contestants leave this hall, I hope, despite certain unfortunate events, that this race will be remembered by all as a notable sporting occasion. Thank you all and good night.
Constable, how grateful I am. Without you and the sergeant, your speed of action, there would have been no prizes. They would have lynched me. But now, all I wish is to sleep.
May have to wait, sir. Sergeant Cribb would like to see you. He's in your office.
Well, surely I can make the charge against Jacobson tomorrow.
I think the sergeant would prefer it now, sir. Especially in view of the Darrell business.
Well, Sergeant Cribb, the Darrell business is your concern. Mine is how you caught up with Jacobson.
Well, if you can spare the time, sir. We arrived at Jacobson's digs only moments after he'd left. Fortunately, someone had seen him enter a cab. We arrested him as he was boarding a train at Fenchurch Street.
Fenchurch Street? But how did... Well, why did you go there?
Because Constable Thackeray here has an inordinate interest in our railway system. He recalled there was a boat train leaving within the hour.
I see, but why steal from me, an old friend?
He told us a very queer story. We'd like to hear yours.
Well, you've had mine. The ingrate robbed my safe, placed me in jeopardy.
So you know nothing about blackmail, sir?
Blackmail, Mr. Cribb? No. And if we were not friends, I would consider your remark insulting. Now, I've had enough. I'm tired. So please go.
If we go now, sir, you come with us to the police station at Islington.
I see. Very well. What do you wish to know?
About blackmail. You were involved in blackmail.
Well, you know, Jacobson is unbalanced, Sergeant. That's why I tried to help him. He needed employment, so I gave him work here. But he became quarrelsome, nervous. The fire, the murders. Finally, he said he couldn't take any more stress, and he wished to quit. How could I allow that? There was too much involved, so I told him, justly, that either he would honour our contract or forfeit his salary. But that was when he started to threaten me. He indicated that you would have to arrest someone for the Darrell murder, that you would hold the first suspect. Well, he knew I'd been out on the night that Darrell was murdered. He threatened to tell you that I'd been with Mrs. Darrell. I had to pay his price.
Which was?
The money in the safe. Well, you know the rest.
So you paid Jacobson all you had to protect Mrs. Darrell's reputation. Very loyal.
She was a friend.
I see. Right, Thackeray.
Sergeant. This way, please, ma'am.
Cora! What are you doing here?
Please be seated, Mrs. Darrell. Now, you were able to listen to our words, ma'am.
I heard everything.
And you can confirm Mr. Herriot's story?
Oh, yes, Sergeant. I can confirm it is a pack of lies.
Cora!
What I told you last night was the truth.
That you dined with Herriot on Monday night?
Yes.
That is not true, Cora! Sergeant, I was at my club, the London Sporting, you can check.
I did, this morning. The steward, the head waiter, neither recalled seeing you for at least a fortnight.
Full of stories, aren't you, Herriot? Still, you had a good reason. And that name you used to sign the poison register, it wasn't very inspired.
Poison register? No!
Now, don't deny it, Herriot. These are reports on every sale of strychnine in London during the last month.
It's impossible!
Do you want me to bring in the dispenser who served you, Thackeray?
No! No! No, I'll tell you the truth. Darrell got what he deserved. He was a villain, a bully.
You killed Darrell because of his wife.
Me? No. Why?
Why, Mrs. Darrell? Because Herriot was in love with you. Do you remember your first meeting with him?
Well, yes, it was when Charlie was training at Hackney, but I didn't mean it. God!
You flashed your eyes at him, but he held off. Something you weren't used to. And that was where you made your mistake, Mrs. Darrell. You see, whatever Herriot is, he's no philanderer. Nothing would have made him seduce another man's wife. But a widow. Oh, that was different.
Stop it, it's horrible.
Yes, Mrs. Darrell, it is. Horrible. So last Monday night, while Charlie was struggling on blistered feet, and you were thinking of oysters, Sol Herriot was contemplating marriage. As far as he was concerned, you were already a widow.
But I had no idea.
He'd already purchased the strychnine. But you didn't know that, did you?
No, Sergeant, I swear it.
I only learned what she was like, about her morals, from Jacobson. By then it was too late.
You really believe she'd marry you?
Yes. Believe me, Mr. Cribb. Last Monday night was the first time we'd been alone. But I was in love.
So you poisoned Darrell's elixir after that dinner?
Yes. I assumed he wouldn't need it until the last stage, when he was totally exhausted. Instead, he took it on the second morning.
Almost ruining your whole promotion?
Yes. Then you and the constable arrived.
So you had to provide us with a murderer.
But the race had to continue. The only way was to kill Sam Monk.
How did you force him into writing that suicide note?
No force was needed, Constable. Monk felt responsible for Charlie's death. He thought it was tetanus. He wanted to explain, to tell Cora what he felt. He came to me for help.
And you dictated a perfect suicide note.
And then you killed him.
I did it for you, Cora. But even that went wrong. Monk was not as drunk as I thought. He saw me turn on the gas. I had to stun him. But for that, the sergeant wouldn't have suspected murder.
Then Jacobson accused you of an affair with Cora?
Yes. I was willing to sacrifice anything to stop you learning about that. I offered to buy Jacobson off. I gave him the takings.
Then reported it as a theft.
Well, the pence had to be paid. How could I have announced at the prize giving that the money was gone? It's happened too often in such promotions. I would have been lynched. So I gave Jacobson time to get away. Then I came to you. Now, if there's nothing else, Sergeant.
Take Mr. Herriot to the station, Thackeray. I reckon he can do with a rest.
I hope, Constable, you will ensure it is a long one. Now, what happens to me, Sergeant? Are you going to escort me home?
Escort you, Mrs. Darrell? No, ma'am. But I'm sure you'll find a cab. Or maybe one of the peds is still hanging about.
Good to be going home, Sarge. It still puzzles me how you got Jacobson to spill.
Oh, Jacobson never said a word, Thackeray.
He didn't? Then what led you to Herriot?
Deduction and elimination, Thackeray. Commencing with the motive for Charlie Darrell's murder.
I'd have waged it was for profit.
Yes, Thackeray. But who would it benefit? Not Chadwick. He was confident of winning.
Until Darrell raced ahead, Sarge, Chadwick could have decided to do him then.
Oh, no. First, he would have had to obtain poison. And second, he was too well known. He might have been spotted going to Darrell's hut. Harvey was a possibility, but I discounted him after Monk died.
Don't see why, Sarge.
Well, it didn't get on. Harvey could not have persuaded Monk to write anything, let alone his own suicide note.
And Jacobson?
Well, Jacobson was up to his eyes in debt. No bookie would give him credit, no wages. So, no profit in him killing Darrell.
Which left the Peds, Cora Darrell, and Herriot.
Well, the Peds didn't count. Second rate as all of them. As for Cora...
I eliminated her, Sarge. She needed her husband alive.
Excellent, Thackeray. Why?
Well, she was a born liar, Sarge, but her fury when she heard Darrell was dead, that was genuine. Darrell was just coming into big money, getting recognised by society. Reflected glory, Sarge. She lived for it.
She lied about that supper. She must have known we'd check with Mr. and Mrs. Darby.
She was afraid of scandal. A lonely wife, taking lovers. Don't look so good when the husband gets murdered. Could have ruined her chances in the future.
Yeah. So that left Herriot. Except he didn't need money.
Which led to the only other possible motive. a crime passionnel.
I thought that was the same as Church La Femme, Sarge.
Yes, Thackeray, I suppose it is. Anything else you'd like to know?
Yes, Sarge. You suspected Sol Elliott, but getting the proof...
Oh, didn't I tell you? My supper engagement last night was with Cora Darrell. It was then I persuaded her to tell the truth. She admitted dining with Harriet. That added to his motive, but it still wasn't proof.
So you got that from the poison register?
No, Thackeray. Not even Inspector Jowett's name moved the local constabulary. I never did get the reports.
But those papers, Sarge...
A few forms from the statistical branch, Thackeray, and sheer bluff.
But if you were so sure, Sarge, you could have confronted Harriet sooner. I mean, we could have been home last night.
Well, we could have, but that would have ended the race, and I couldn't have that.
You held off for the pen, Sarge, to save their prize money.
Yes, Thackeray. And for Mrs. Cribb.
Your wife, Sarge?
Yes, Thackeray, my wife. Now, you know, I'm not a betting man, but Mrs. Cribb, well, she had a 10 quid on Chadwick. And Thackeray, if she'd found out, I'd nobbled her chances.
Ah.
Read all about it. Get your paper. World Championship race. Promoter charged with murder. Paper, mister.
Bell's News, son.
Sorry, mister, but this one's better. Tells you all about the wobble to death.
We know all about that one, son.
Do we, Thackeray? There are one or two things I'd still like to find out.
There are, Sarge.
Yes, Thackeray. And since you're so good at reading...
Oh, no, Sarge.
That's an order, Thackeray.
Right, Sarge. Wobble to Death, a play for radio by Geoffrey M. Matthews, was based on the novel by Peter Lovsey.
That's excellent, Thackeray, but a bit on the slow side. Now, try it like this. The part of Sergeant Cribb... That's me. ...was played by Timothy Bateson.
Constable Thackeray was William Edel.
With Sidney Taffler as Solomon Harriet. The other characters in the play were...
Walter Jacobson, played by Geoffrey Siegel.
Captain Chadwick, Charles Hodgson.
Dr. Mostyn Smith, Jonathan Scott.
O'Flaherty, Rio Fanning.
Charlie Darrell, Eric Allen.
And Cora Darrell, Carol Boyd.
Sam Monk was Hector Ross.
Harvey and Williams, Steve Hodgson.
Chalk and the Doctor.
Trader...
I beg your pardon?
That's all right, Thackeray.
Trader Faulkner.
Mary Foster and the newsboy, Alison Gullings.
And the newspaper reporters were Dennis McCarthy and Leslie...
You did that well, Thackeray.
Thank you very much.
The play was produced, with all his accustomed savoir-faire, by Harry Catlin.